Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Lamed Dalet, and we are 12 lines from the top of daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. So the topic is the Matonos, also known as the Zroya Lechoyayim and the Kefer. The pasuk says, "V'zeh yiyeh mishpat hakoyanim me'eis ha'om me'eis zoivchei hazevach im shor im se v'nosan lakoyin hazroya v'alochayayim v'akevo." If Yid who qualifies as a member of the nation, as me'eis ha'om will shech a behema, a shor or a se, he has to take the Zroya, the foreleg, the Lechoyayim, the jaws, the hakevo, and the abomasim, and give it to a kohen. We saw in the Gemara that a kohen himself is potter from being mafresh the zroya, lichoyayim, and the keva. Additionally, if somebody would shech the animal of a non-Jew, he would be potter from the zroya, lichoyayim, and the keva. Additionally, the Mishnah said that if a yid has a shutef that's a non-Jew or a kohen, the fact that the non-Jew or the kohen has some ownership in this animal, that too would be enough for him to be potter from the zroya, lichoyayim, and the keva. On that note, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, shutif b'roish, if somebody owns the head of an animal, or he owns an animal, and he has a kohen who's a partner in the head of the animal. So the kohen's not a partner in the entire animal, he's only a shutif in the roish of the animal. Potter min alechi. He'll be potter from the matana that's in the head, he'll be potter from the lechi. The lechi, the jaw, is in the head of the animal. Being that he has a shutif, a koyen, in the head, he's going to be potter from that matana. Shutif biyad. If the koyen is a shutif in the yad, potter min azroya. Shutif bibnei me'ayin, potter min akeva. But as it relates to the other matanos and the rest of the animal, that it sounds like he's going to be chayv. If he has a koyen that's a partner, even in one aver of the animal, potter mikulam, that's enough to disqualify him from all the matanos. In other words, a machloikis rafuna, according to Rav Huna, if you have a partner that's a kohen, but the kohen's not a partner in the entire animal, he's a partner in one chelik of the animal. So then, if that chelik of the animal has a matana, you'll be potter from that matana. So if the kohen is a shutif in the roish, the lichayayim is in the roish, you'll be potter from the lichayayim, but you'll be chayiv in the zroya in the keva. I have a kohen that's a partner in this animal, yeah, but the kohen's only a partner in the roish, and the zroya and the keva is not in the roish. According to Chiya Barav, afilu shutaf be'achas mehen, if you have a kohen that's a partner in one aver of the animal, that's enough to potter you from all the matanis. Meis v'frek the gemar, how could it be a machlik sami ron rafun ar Chiya Barav? It's a mefurish of raisa, the price says a roish shall leave a kula shalcha. If a kohen sells his animal to a Yisrael, he says, I keep the head and you can have the rest of the animal. Or even if he says, I'll keep 1/100th of the head, the rest of it belongs to you. Potter. The halach is, this Yisrael is going to be potter from the matana. If he repeated the same thing with the yad, even if the kohen kept back for himself only 1/100th of the yad, potter. The Yisrael is going to be potter. If a kohen sells the bnei, or keeps the bnei me'ayim for himself, and he says to the Yisrael, you can have the rest of the animal, even if he only keeps 1/100th of the bnei me'ayim, potter, he's going to be potter. So this is exactly the case that Rav Huna and Chiya Barav discuss. Now, what did the Braisa say? Potter. The Gemara assumes, my love, potter min alechi v'chai b'kulam, potter min azroi v'chai b'kulam, potter min akeva v'chai b'kulam. Being that the Braisa repeated three separate cases, doesn't it sound like, because each case, potter means something else. Where the kohen held back the rosh, potter min halechi. Where the kohen held back the yad, potter min azroi. Where the kohen held back the bnei me'ayin, you're going to be potter from the keva. That's Rav Huna's halacha. If that's the case, isn't it Kasha on Chiya Barav, who said that if a kohen is a shutif, or in this case, if he holds back anything, that's enough to say that the Yisrael is going to be potter from everything? Mara says, no, potter mikulon. If it was a mefurish of Braisa, it would be a kasha Chiya Barav. But there is no mefurish of Braisa. All the Braisa said was potter. You're assuming in the kasha, potter means potter minha lechi, potter min azroya, potter min akeva. Chiya Barav is going to tell you the Braisa means you're potter from everything. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, v'lisni potter mikulon. Shouldn't the Braisa have said that? Potter sounds like maybe misleadingly, you're only potter from that one individual matana. If Chibarav is right that you're potter from everything, then the Brisa should have clarified that. Void, Tanya, there's a Mefurish Brisa, meaning this first Brisa is not Mefurish, but the second Brisa is Mefurish. Arosh, the Bikul Shalcha, Afilo Echad Meimeya Berosh, Potter Min Halechi, Vichayev Bikulon. So here the Brisa says Mefurish that if the Kohen held back the Rosh or a hundredth of the Rosh, he'll be Potter Min Halechi, but clearly he'll be Chayev Bikulon. Zach the Gemara, Tiufta de Chibarav, Tiufta, checkmate. You're right. There's no way out. Chiyah Barav clearly is upgefrekt from this brisa. Thus, the halach is not like Chiyah Barav. The halach is that if the Kohen is a partner in the Rosh, or if he sold the animal and kept the Rosh back for himself, so the halach is the Yisrael, being that he has a Kohen partner in the Rosh, will be potter from that individual matana that's in the Rosh, also known as the Lichayayim. But as it relates to the other matanois, he will in fact be Chayav. Zok to Gemara, Amrav Chiz, the Hamas Niso, Atisek L'Chiyah Barav. Chiyah Barav made a mistake. But I'll tell you the rest of the story. I'll tell you what confused and misled Chiyah Barav. It was the following brisa. The Tanya, we went to the brisa. Esrim V'arba Matanois Kuhuna. And there are 24 Matanois Kuhuna. V'kula Nitnu L'Aharinu Levana B'chlalu Prat U'Bris Melech. And the 24 Matanois Kuhuna were given to Aharinu Levana of number one B'chlalu Prat. What does that mean? So there's a general pasuk, a klal pasuk, that talks about all the Matanois Kuhuna. It's the pasuk that we spoke about yesterday. Vayidaber Hashem el Aharon, v'ani hinei nesati l'chos mishmeres chumoisoi l'chol kachei b'nei Yisrael l'chol nesatam l'mashcha u'levonecha acharecha l'chol goyle. But the point is that there's this general pasuk that describes all kachei Yisrael as being matanos that were given to Aharon. That's klal l'chol kachei Yisrael. And then you have all the psukim that single out the respective matanis individually. So the matanis kahuna were given b'klal. There's the one general pasuk, the lamashcha pasuk, and then there's the prat, all the individual psukim. Additionally, when the Torah talks about the matanis kahuna, the Torah mentions bris olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Aharon and your family called Shumay Sakachem Asher Yerimu Bnei Yisrael LaHashem Nosati L'Chol V'Nechav V'Neisech Itchol L'Chol Goylam Bris Melach Olam Hi Lifnei Hashem L'Chol Zarach Itach. So this is an expression that you find used in the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not just giving it to you, but it's a bris, as in bris bein apsarim, bris mila, mloi berisi yoibam v'layla, chukish maivaretz leisamti. It has the power of bris, but a bris melach, the bris of salt. So that was really powerful. What's the significance in the bris of salt? So salt is a preservative. Salt is something that's kayim la'olam. And the point was is that Aharon Uvanov will be zoicha to the matnas kahuna la'olam. But either way, so the Torah did two interesting things when it mentioned the matnas kahuna to Aharon. Number one, it mentioned the b'chlal uprat. Number two, it used the word bris melech. What's the significance? To teach me. Kol ha-mekayimon kilu kayim klal uprat. If someone is mekayim the chof dalid matanois, it's as if he was mekayim kol ha-toyra kulo. That's nidrash. Rabbi Shmuel Omer b'chlal uprat ubris melech. Additionally, it's as if he brought the karbonos, where the Torah also uses the concept of bris melech. Kol oiver aleim, someone that's oiver, he violates the chafta al matnas kuna kilo oiver al klal uprat ukilo oiver al the karbonos, which is bris melech. Okay, so now we have a little bit of background about the chafta al matnas kuna. We understand the severity of it. Now, what are they? Ve'elu hey, eser b'mikdash, there were 10 that involved the base that had to be eaten in the base of mikdash. Va'ar b'Yerushalayim, 4 could be eaten in Yerushalayim, and another 10 to be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. That's the mikdash. What were those? Chatos, the chatos ha'oif, asham, vaday va'asham tali. Those are two separate. V'zivche shalme tzibur. Those are the kvasim that were brought on shvuas together with the shtei halechem. V'loik shemen shalme tzayre. That's 6. V'shtei halechem v'lechem apanim u'shiyare menachos u'minchas ha'omer. Those are the 10 that Aharon Uvanov got, but had to be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. Arbi Yerushalayim, one of the four in Yerushalayim, HaBechoyra, VaBikurim, Umura Min HaToida, UMe'el Nazar, and the parts of the Karbon Toida and the Eil Nazar, parts of the Karbon Shlamim, it was only Kachem Kalim, that were given to Aharon Uvanov that could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, VaOyreis Kachem. Additionally, the Oyre of Kachem, even the Oyre of a Karbon Oyla, was given to Aharon Uvanov, and that's something that you could benefit from anywhere in Yerushalayim. VaEser B'Gvulin, and the 10 that were in the Gvulin, Truma, the Trumas Meiser, VaChala, VaReishus Hagez, that's the next parak, UMatanois, that's the Zroi L'Chaim in the cave, what we're learning right now, UPidyan HaBen, UPidyan Petach Hamar, VaSteachuza, that means if somebody was Makdish or Steachuza, and then you're
Teubel comes, the Kayanim get it. Ustecha Ramim, that's something called Cherme Kayanim. If someone is machdish something, he says, I want it to be Kaddish, but specifically it should be Cherme Kayanim, the Kayan gets it. And finally, Gezel Hager. Bottom line is you have a Braisa that discusses the 24 Matnes Kun. So who Savar? Chiyabarav thought, Midigachosh Lumatan Tanois Bechada, being that the Matanis, the Zroy Lechaim in the Keva, in the minion of 24 were mentioned as one, that's a raya chadanino, that they must all be one. So if they're all one, and I'm potter from one in this animal, because I have a kayan partner in the rush, so now I should be potter from all of them. But the Gemara says, Valahi, because they made a mistake. That's what the Gemara says. Go through the list. We mentioned the carbon toida and the ayal nazar as one, and we know they're not one. Being that they're similar, being that the Zroi L'chaim and Kev are similar, it's the same pasuk, they have, for the most part, the same Shulchan Aruch, so as a result, they're similar, so in the list of 24, we count them as one. I mean, really, if you break down the 24, it would be more than 24. That's what the Gemara is saying. But if Chizda said that Chiyah Barav was mistaken based on his reading of this Braisa, he thought that this Braisa that mentions the Zroi L'chaim and Kev, not as three of the 24 Matnes Kuna, but as one of the 24 Matnes Kuna, the emphasis of the Brice is trying to say that they're all somehow gebunden. Iba Yeluhu, clears the Gemara. What would be in the reverse case? What happens if a Kayin sells an animal to a Yisrael and he says, I'm selling you the head, but I want to keep the rest of the animal for myself? What's the question? The question is, do we say that the Yisrael is Chayiv in the Lechayim because that Aver belongs only to the Yisrael and not to the Kayim, or not? Do you say that, you see, we look at each Aver individually, so we pass him like Rav Huna, each Aver is viewed individually, okay, so the Yisrael owns the Roish without a Kayim partner, so let him be Chayiv. Or you don't say that. Over here, the Ikar Behema belongs to a Kayim. And once the Ikar Behema belongs to a Kayim, so you take the Roish and you throw it together with the Ikar. If the Ikar belongs to a Kayim, and obviously you're going to be potter from the pot that belongs to a Kayim, you'd have to be potter from this as well. Zochti Gemara Toshma. I bring you a raya from a Mishnah in the next paragraph. If a guy or a koye owned sheep, that potter from Reishis Hages. If they gave it to a Yid, a Yisrael, to do the giza, to shear the wool, so the halacha is, it doesn't make them chayiv, despite the fact that the one that's shearing the wool is a Yisrael, and he himself, if it was his animal, he would be chayiv. In this case, you're going to be pot. It's similar to the case where Yisrael tabach shechted an animal of a non-Jew or a Kayin, where the halach is, even though hadin im ha-tabach, still you'll be potter from the Zroi L'chayim in the Keva. That same halach is true for Reish Tzageis, but we need the next part. If somebody buys from a guy, he buys his wool, so the halach is his potter, may Reish Tzageis. And then the Bryce says, and this is in contrast to the halach of Zroi L'chayim in Keva, where if somebody would buy the Zroi L'chayim in the Keva of a Kayin, he would be Chayiv. The bottom line is, Shma Mino, what do you see from here? Basa Chiyuv Azlina, Shma Mino, that if somebody buys this Royal Chayim in the Keva, he's going to be Chayiv. What do you mean? I only bought this Royal Chayim in the Keva. I didn't buy the rest of the animal. The Kayin owns the rest of the animal. So if the Kayin owns the rest of the animal, go Basa Chiyuv. Go say that. So you see from here, from the fact that I'm Chayiv, go Basa the Ikr of the animal. From the fact that you're being Chayiv, you see, you don't go Basa the Ikr of the animal. I don't care that the Kayin owns the majority of the animal. If the Yisrael owns the part of the animal that involves the Matanis, that's going to obligate him now in the matanos. In the event that if the Kohen sells the animal to a Yisrael and he tells him, I'm selling you the animal, I'm leaving the matanos for myself, which is the inverse of this last case. The last case, he sold the matanos, he kept the animal for himself. In this case, he sold the animal, but he left the matanos for himself. The halacha is, the Yisrael that buys the animal is potter min ha-matanos. What's the pshat? Doesn't have it. It's pashut. He never bought it.
Now, what happened? A Kohen owns an animal. He says, I'm selling the animal to you, Yisrael, but I'm keeping for myself the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. Okay, in Chayshem Mishpat, in the world of Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, this works. So now the Yisrael owns an animal, but he doesn't own the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva because there was a Chutz. So, for example, when you learn the Sechtes Gittin, Perakam and Garish, so their Chutz comes up a lot, right? The Sugis of Chutz are in Perakam and Garish. That's a case where Reuven divorces his wife and he says, you can marry anybody you want, Chutz Mishimin. So there, it's a Shiloh. Why? Because the Torah says Sefer Krisos. And the fact that you're not allowing me to marry anybody that I want, that's a Chisorin in the Krisos. That's a Svarin Hilchas Gerishin. But ordinarily, Kinyonim work with the concept of Chutz. So the Kinyon works, for sure, as it relates to the Chiyav. Matanis, there's no Chiyav Matanis. The Yisrael doesn't have any. But the Gemara asks, Kachat for a minu, Amenasha Matanis Shali, Naisim L'chol Koyin Sheyirtza. What happens if a Koyin would sell the animal, keep the Matanis for himself? But his Nusach was different. He didn't say, I'm selling the animal to you, Chutz Mena Matanis. He said, I'm selling the animal to you on the condition. He made a Tanai. He stipulated. The Tanai is, Amenas Shaha Matanis Shali. So what's the halacha? The halacha is the mecher schal. The Kohen does not get to keep the matanos, and as a result, the Yisrael has a chiyuv to give the matanos, but he can give it to any kohen he wants. He doesn't have to give it dafka to the person that held it back. It's a blatant contradiction to the halacha in our Mishnah. Two different halachas. It's a completely different shulchan aruch. In our Mishnah, the Kohen retains the matanos. As a result, the Yisrael has no chiyuv matanos. In the Braisa, the Kohen keeps nothing. What happens? The Yisrael gets the whole animal and he gives the matanis to whoever he wants to give it to. The kasha is, aren't the cases the same? In our Mishnah, he sold the behema chutz mina matanis. In the Braisa, he sold the behema al menas sha matanis shali. Says the Gemara, no, it's not the same. Al menas ha chutz karamis. I mean, this is Nashim Nezikin 101. Chutz shiura, al menas lav shiura. In Lamdis, two completely, they look similar, yeah, but two completely different transactions took place. In our Mishnah, what happened? There was a shiur in the Iker Mekach. I'm not selling you everything. I'm selling you almost everything. But I'm not selling you everything. What am I not selling you? These Evara. That's something you could do from a Chayshah Mishpat standpoint. I never sold you the matanos. Remelo, you don't have a chiv now to give the matanos. Over here, I sold you everything. I made a Tanai. The Tanai doesn't work. Why doesn't the Tanai work? That's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. An easy answer is it's a masna mashakas of Batayra. But whatever. Either way, it says the Gemara middle, but I'll ask you another kash. Amanash and matanos shali. Amatanos shalai. And here it's Amanas and Amanas. Here you have a blatant stira. So this kash is not a kash on the Mishnah, it's a kash on the Braisa. The two Braises don't shtip. The first Braisa, Amanash and matanos shali. And here the bride says, again, this is more of a Noshim Nezikin Machloikis, but the Shaila is whether you look at Al Menas, all you have to say is, Ain Kamakoimo, and you can go right there, so it's too easy. But either way, that's the Shaila. Do you look at Al Menas as Chutz, or do you not look at Al Menas as Chutz? And you have to know. Either way, Zakhtam Kirk. I'll Zakhtam Gemara. I'm Ali Macharli B'nei Meyaya, Alumdisha Gemara. So the Mishnah had said that what happens if somebody buys not an animal from a kohen, but he buys the intestines from a kohen. So the Mishnah said that there's two, or I'm sorry, he bought the intestines from somebody. He walks into a butcher store and he tells the butcher, I want to buy the b'nei me'ayin of this animal. And in the b'nei me'ayin, there were the keva. The keva is one of the matanis that has to be given to a kohen. So how do you look at this from a zroi l'chayayim and keva perspective? So the Mishnah said it depends. Omar, I'm reading from the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Amar Aleph, four lines from the bottom. Omar mechor li b'nei me'ayin shel paro. If the lekeach told the meicher, sell me the b'nei me'ayin. V'hoyim ben matanis. And there was the keva inside. So the halach is, the lekeach is nois l'kohen. He has to give the keva to the kohen. And he can't force the seller, the butcher, to reimburse him what he had to give to the kohen, because it's understood that the keva is in the b'nei me'ayim, and the keva goes to the kohen. If, however, he didn't say, sell me b'nei me'ayim, but rather he took the b'nei me'ayim, he weighed it, so he wanted a specific amount and a specific weight of b'nei me'ayim, so the halach is different. He has to give it again to the kohen, but in this case, menakaloi min hadamin. Implied in the first line of the Gemara is a diak. And that is, it sounds like, in the Sefer, we're going to focus on the second case of the Mishnah, where somebody bought the Mishkal, the Halach is nois and l'kayin, u'menakalei min adam, that we're talking about the Kayin has a right to go to the Lekeach and take the Keva from him. But it sounds like he would not have a right to go to the Tabach, the Moicher,
and take the B'nai Ma'ayim from him. So it sounds like he only has a schus to go to the Lekeach. He doesn't have a schus to go to the Tabach. Which, if you think about it, why? He can go to the Lekeach. Lekeach has Keva. I'm a Kayan. You have Keva. We need a talk. If, however, the Kayan would go to the butcher, the Moicher, this Tabach, he would have no claim against him. He wouldn't be able to take anything from him. Why not? You had my Keva. You sold it, but if you're a Gazlan and you sell the Gzela, you would think that I have a right now to go and summons you to court and see if I can get what you sold, which was mine. So the Gemara is going to begin with a diuk, and the diuk is that why is it, again, it's not such a clear diuk, but this is the diuk of the Gemara. Why is it that the Kohen only has a right to go to the Lekeach, who has the Keva sitting right now, defrosting, waiting to be put on the grill? L'chayre, he should be able to go to the Tabach as well. Zok the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav said, Lo yishanu el shishak alatzmai. Because of this diuk that we just spoke out, you have to make an akimta in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about where, you know who weighed the B'nai Ma'ayim? It was the buyer that weighed the B'nai Ma'ayim. Meaning, the Moicher never touched the B'nai Ma'ayim. I will shock Aloy Tabach. But what if the butcher, the Moicher, would touch the B'nai Ma'ayim? Then the Aloch is a dinner at Tabach. Then if the Kohen wants, he can go af the Tabach, Rashi says. Not only ima Tabach, but af the Tabach. Meaning, he can go to the Lekeach if he wants to. He can go to the Tabach if he wants to as well. Meaning, Rav felt that the reason this diuk is correct, that the Kohen can't go over to the butcher, is because the butcher never made, he never touched the B'nai Ma'ayim. He shechted the animal, was sitting there. He never waited and put it in the bag and said, thank you for shopping with us. The Lekeach was the one who picked it up. He waited, he walked out with it. So being that the Moicher himself never made contact with it. Would you like the receipt? Being that the Moicher never made the thing that he never made contact with it, so maybe it's not considered a Gazlan, and therefore the Kohen has no schus to the Tabach. He can only go after the Lekeach. However, if the Tabach would have waited, in that case, he'd be able to go to the Tabach. Ravasi argued. He says, no, I feel a shakalai Tabach hadinima. You can never go after the Kohen. You can never go after the Moich. You could always only go after the Lekeach. So, what's the beer in the Machlikis? Somebody steals something. The Bailam wasn't miyayish, but and now somebody comes and this person ate the gzela. So now there's two gazlanim. Reuven was the gazlan. Shimon ate what Reuven stole. Now the nigzel comes and he says, where's my food? Well, he stole it. He ate it. Okay. Well, who do I go after? So Rav Chisda famously said, Ratzamizagoyva. You go after anyone you want. If you want, you can go after the gazlan. He for sure is someone you can go after. He's the gazlan. If you want, you go after the person that ate it. He goes, he ate it. So says the Gemara, isn't this the machloikis? The mar is later of chizdo. Mar less later of chizdo. It sounds like Rav holds that if both would be complicit, meaning the butcher would have weighed it, so he's the gazlan, and now the lekeach bought it, he has it sitting in his house. So ratzim izagoyva, ratzim izagoyva. Whereas Rav Asi, who says you could only go after the lekeach, he holds not like Rav Chisda, doesn't hold the ratzim izagoyva, ratzim izagoyva. Now, so what does Rav Asi hold? In our Mishnah, you can go after the lekeach. If he doesn't hold of Rav Chisda in Bava Kamma, so what then, who then could he go off there? Only the gazlan. So it's, although the Gemara is saying Rav Asi is less than Rav Chisda, but if you really want to go into it, Rav Asi's halacha is going to differ in the case of Gezel and Siyashua Vailam and in our case. And the reason is very simple. Because in our case, being that the Lekeach has it, if you could only go after one person, you're for sure going to go after the Lekeach. In Rav Chisda's case, it's gone. One person stole it, one person ate it. If you don't know the Rav Chisda, and there's no such thing as Ratzim Izagoyva, Ratzim Izagoyva, and you have to pick who to go after, it makes sense to go after the Gazan. In Rav Chisda's case, it would make sense to go after the Gazan. In our case, it would make sense to go after the Lekeach. But the bottom line is, Rav who said that with the Tabach weight, you can go after either one you want, he was like Rav Chisda, Ratzim Izagoyva, Ratzim Izagoyva. Whereas Rav Asi, who said, no, you can only go after one person, probably is less than Rav Chisda, but the Gemara says, like, the Kuliyam is Rav Chisda, everybody holds Rav Chisda. The question over here is whether, in fact, our Mishnah is a Tzushal to Rav Chisda. What's the Shaila? Could you steal Matnois Kahuna, or could you not steal Matnois Kahuna? So again, we saw this a little bit in the beginning of the Perek, Mom and Shein, Leitoivin, but that's the question. Could you steal Matnois Kahuna? The Marsha of Arnigzos, Rav held you could steal Matnois Kahuna. So if you could steal Matnois Kahuna, so the Tabuch that picked it up and weighed it, he's a Gazlan. Now, Lekeach has it. Rav Chisda holds Ratzim Yizeh Goyver, Ratzim Yizeh Goyver, as long as there was no Yish Bailim. Ratzim Yizeh Goyver, Ratzim Yizeh Goyver, Afle Tabach, he can go after anybody. Whereas Rav Asi holds Umarasava Ein Igzolis, he physically can't steal Matnas Kuna. It's not a true shot to Rav Chisda. If you can steal Matnas Kuna, then maybe Rav Asi would be moided to Rav Chisda, Ratzim Yizeh Goyver, Ratzim Yizeh Goyver. But over here, it's not something you can steal. Either way, the Machloikis, Rav Asi and Rav is a real Shas Machloikis. It's not yeah, Rav Chisda or no Rav Chisda, but rather it's matnos kuhuna nigzolos or matnos kuhuna in an nigzolos. They said it in a roundabout way. They discussed it in the akimta of the last case of the Mishnah. But really, when you break it down, what it boils down to is this fundamental question. Says the Gemara. In fact, there was another version of Machlokes Rav and Rav Asi without the whole context of the Mishnah, who weighed it. Just very straightforward. Rav Abba Manas Kuna Nigzalis, Rav Asi Abba Manas Kuna Nigzalis. There's really no Machlokes between the two Lashonos of the Gemara. The two Lashonos of the Gemara are saying the same exact thing. It's for sure, a machleik is whether matnas kuna nigzolos or not nigzolos. The question was merely the context of exactly how this machleik is was said. Before we go weiter, just one ha'ara on yesterday's daf, and that is, we saw the Gemara talked about Rav Shimon's famous halacha. Rav Shimon said, kol koyen she'enoi moide ba'avoida, ein loy chelek b'kohuna. She'nemar makriv estam ha'shlomim. Only someone who believes in the avodah of Hilacha loy siya shaykayamim lamana. But a kayin that's in a moida b'avodah, the halach is in loy chelik b'matnas kuna. Then Rav Shimon said it's not only the avodah of Hilacha, but the same is going to be true for all 15 avodahs. Hayitzikos, v'ablilos, v'hapesisos. So we spoke at yesterday, the Rashi says, what does it mean a kayin that's not moida b'avodah? Zok Rashi, sha'omar b'liboy divrei hevel hein. He says in his heart, that the avodah, it's silly. V'loitziva ha'mokin la'akriv le'karbonis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told Moshe to be makriv karbonis. Ela Moshe bada b'libo. I mean, this is a person who's a kofer baker. He's a first-rate apikairis. He doesn't believe in the whole sefer Vayikra. This is the koyin that's einoi moide b'avodah. And Rav Shimon said that any koyin that's not moide b'avodah, ein loy chelek b'kehuna. I saw that the Sha'ar Matzion and Malacha brings a tshuva from the Marsham. That Marsham's tshuva is in Chelik Aleph, it's Simen Kuf Lamed He, and the tshuva was written to Reb Avram Misachichov, also known as the Avni Nezer. And it seems that the Avni Nezer told the Marsham that the Chelkis Yoyev told him that I think he could bring a Raya Nifla from this Gemara right here, that somebody that denies a Chelik of the Torah is not considered a Mummer. So in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin, we learned a lot of halachas as it relates to a Mummer. Mummer L'chal Shabbos, a Mummer Echol Neveles, L'hachas, L'teyovin, all these different halachas. So he said, I think you see from here that if someone denies a Chelik in the Torah, it doesn't make him a Mummer. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that if someone denies one ois in the Torah, or one halach in the Torah, one mitzvah in the Torah, he's a mummer, you can't treat him anymore as a Yehudi, as a Yid. So what's Rav Shimon's big oif to over here? Rav Shimon said that kol koyin she'inin moida b'avoida, ein loy chelik b'matnas kuna. It sounds like you could do the avoida, it sounds like you can trust the shechita, right? It's just a question of matnas kuna. This is a koyin who's doing the avoida. You don't give him the shaykayamim. You don't give him the Chazei HaTenufa. Okay, you don't give him the Bikurim, the Chavdal and Matnas Kuna that we spoke about. But in terms of being a Kohen and allowing him to function as a Kohen, it sounds like there's no question you're allowed to. But the way Rashi learns Kol Kohen Sheinu Moideh B'Avodah means he's a Kohen. He denies the whole Sefer Vayikra. What are the Chamishei Chumashei Torah? So how is a person like this even allowed into Beis Medrash? How does a person get onto first base? How does this person get the first Aliyah? It sounds like that's not an issue. It sounds like the issue is it's a Bezunder, a Jerusha, Ein Lei Chelik Pekahuna. But in terms of functioning as a Yid, that may be, that was what the Chelkis Yoyev told the Avni Nezer, and the Avni Nezer wrote to the Marsham in a tshuva, a ha'ara nifla, ve'inka mekoy milaharech. But it's just kedai to speak out of Chassam Sofer on this Gemara right here. The Chassam Sofer brings that the Ritva was matmi on Rashi. Rashi says that the koyin she'ine moida b'avoida is a koyin that's a koyfa be'ikr. He's an apikoyris. Ve'tzovach ha'ritva. quoting from the Chassam Sofer. Im Kain, Mayridav Alei Mailin. That means it's a person that's Mayridav Alei Mailin. Shtikl Dabnei Nejas Kasha. But the point is that, what do you mean, he Eilei Chelek Bekohuna? His Shulchan Aruch, he has much bigger problems as it relates to being a Yid than just Eilei Chelek Bekohuna. But either way, the Chassam Sofer says, I'm going to tell you a different shot. It's Yidua that the Rambam says in his Mayr Nevoichim, that what's the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Karbonos? It's not because Hashem really wants our Karbonos or needs our Karbonos. Hashem doesn't have anything from our Karbonos. But when the Yidden were Mitzrayim, they were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. Halalu Oivdei Avodah Zarah, Valalu Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And the Yidden, when they left Mitzrayim and now became Avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only way that they were able to conceptualize serving a deity was through the worship of Karbonos. They didn't know any other way. That's what the Oivdei Avodah Zarah used to do. Now, the Oivdei Avodah Zarah, the way the Rambam details in his Moira, they used to bring bears and lions and elephants and all the Karbonos that we bring are the antithesis of what the Oivdei Avodah Zarah used to do. But the concept of taking an animal and slaughtering it for a greater power, that's something that the Oivdei Avodah Zarah believed. And that was the way they used to worship. And the Rambam says that's the only way the Yidden understood worship. Memela Kadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to give the Yidden a mitzvah of Karbonos. The Rambam brings this Rambam in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. He asks many kashas, kemuvan, on this Rambam. His biggest question that he asks is that it says in the Torah, Reach Nichayach. So how could the Rambam say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing from the Karbonos? It's a mikra mole. It says Reach Nichayach, Reach Nichayach, Reach Nichayach. But either way, that's Rambam's kasha on the Rambam. The question is, what did the Rambam mean? Most people learn that the Rambam meant what the Rambam says. He meant it kipshutai. Shvei Rambam, you have to be miyashiv the Rambam's kashas. But the Chassam Sofer brings from the Marit in a Sefer Tzofnas Paneya, who says a whole different shot in the Rambam. And he says, the Velt makes a toys in the Rambam. The Rambam never meant that. What the Rambam really meant was Ayin Shom. But the point is, he didn't mean the way people understand the Rambam. Here's the punchline. The punchline is, says the Chassam Sofer, you know what Rav Shimon meant in the Gemara? Kol koyin she'inu moida b'avoida. Not the pshat that he thinks Moshe Rabbeinu made it up. No. He understands. He's mekab, not like Rash. Oh, he's not an apikoyrus in that sense. He's not a min. But he believes what some people think the Rambam meant. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah of Karbonos, but he never really wanted the Karbonos. It was all to be marchik, the lev of the Yidden, who at the time were Oivdei Avodah Zarah, because that was the only way they understood how to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's what the Kohen thinks, he doesn't appreciate that Hashem has a Reach Nichayach from the Avodah that he's doing. And in his mind, he thinks all he's doing is somehow distancing the Jewish people a little bit farther from the Avodah Zarah of yesteryear. That person is Ein L'Chelek Beguna. The Kohen has to believe that the avodah that he's doing is the Reach Nichayach, and kol koyin sheni moedav avodah. He thinks it's all the simple reading of the Rambam and the Moir Nevuchim. So you see how sharp the Chassam Sofer felt that that's not pshat in the Rambam. He held that that's Rav Shimon's kol koyin sheni moedav avodah. Either way, vadvarim atikin zok the Mishnah vaytegesh in iskayer. So a non-Jew converted vayisalei para nishchata, and he had a cow, a slaughtered cow. So the halacha is like this: actually niskayer potter if it was Shachut before the Geirus, he's part of in the Zroya L'chaim in the Keva. Because a guy is part of in the Zroya L'chaim in the Keva, being that he shechted it before the Geirus, he's going to be part of Mishin Eskai. If, however, he shechted it after the Geirus, so it doesn't matter that he bought it before. But if he shechted it afterwards, being that he's a Yid, Chayiv, Safik, let's say it is a Safik, we're not sure when exactly the Geirus happened relative to when this para was slaughtered. So what's the halacha? Pater, shehamoitzi, mechaveroi, all of a raya. This was Sunday's daf. That if you have a suffix, whether you chayim in Zroel, chayim in Keva, we treat it like a suffix. Mamoin, you have a suffix right now. If I have an obligation, the kohen can't come to me and say, give me the Zroya, alecha lahavi araya. You're not sure whether I'm chayiv, just like the Levi Rav said, Safik chayiv, Safik potter, thus potter, because I'm made to mechaveri all of a raya. Here it's a Mishnah. You have a Safik whether this ger is chayiv in this royal lechayim in the cave or not. The halach is like all Safik mamin, hamoitze mechaveri overaki. Aser Rav Dimi Amar. Rami le Rav Shem Melach, Rav Yechanan. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He related the following incident that took place between Reish Lakish and Rav Yechanan. So Reish Lakish asked Rav Yechanan a kash on this mission. Safik potter. Our mission is clear that if you have a Safik, whether someone's chayiv in Zroel Chaim and Keva, he's potter. Why? Safik mamin. Thus, I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah Mesechtes Peah. So the Mishnah was discussing ant holes that are inside the tefuah that a person has on his field, and the person,
when he went through his field, he found little strands of straw, chitin, inside the hole. What's the shaila? The shaila is that leket or is it not leket? And really, it depends on when it fell. If they fell while he was harvesting, it would be considered leket. If, however, they were there prior, then it wouldn't be considered leket. So the Mishnah says very simply, if you see it amongst the kama, meaning you didn't harvest your field yet, and you see in the ant holes a little bit of chitin, it's clearly not leket. If, however, you found it after you already koitzer, the ones that towards the top, towards the opening, the mouth of the hole, so that you have to be concerned, maybe fell while you were harvesting, thus it's leket, misafik, you have to give it to the aniyim. V'atachtoinim shabalabayis, and the ones that's on the bottom, you give to the balabayis. Rameir said, ha'koil aniyim. No, you always, if you find it in an ant hole, you're giving it to the aniyim. You know why? Because it's always a safik, Rameir says. And she says, safik, leket. So what was Mishnah? Because it's kasha to Rabbi Yochanan. We know stam mishnah is Rameir. So in our mishnah, you have a stam mishnah that says, safik matnois kohuna. What's the halacha? You give it, you keep it. Because I'm Eitzim Rechabi Olav Araya. And here you have a mishnah, Masechtes Peah, that says, safik matnois aniyim, not matnois kohuna, but safik matnois aniyim. You don't say, I'm Eitzim Rechabi Olav Araya. But rather we say, safik leket. On my list, Rabbi Yochanan told Rish Lakish, what he told him very often in Shas, Al tak niteni. Don't ask me questions from that mission. You know why? I know of that mission of Masechtes Peah, and I know it's Rameir, but whereas from the mission it sounds like everybody was in agreement that Rameir said it, I don't agree that everybody agrees Rameir said it, but rather it was a Yochid that said it. The Tanya learned to the bride, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Oyme Mishum Rameir. It's Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, the name of Rameir. Safik Lak, Safik Shikra, Shira, Safik Peah, Peah. I mean, it's not a stira. Our Mishnah is Stam Rameir. That's a Yochid in the name of Rameir. Al Koponim, it's Trey Tanoi, Valibid Rameir. Thus, you can't ask a stira. Amalais Rishokash, Rabbi Yechanan, Al Tashana, Oysa, El Balashim ben Tadol. And Rashi says, this was an expression, he says, you're telling me that a Yochid said it, because a Yochid said it, so you're not impressed. He said, I don't care that a Yochid said it, and I wouldn't even care if the Yochid wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, who was a Chash of a Talmud or a Meir, even if it was Ben Tadl, who Rashi says was a Shoyte Sheba Oilab. But regardless, it doesn't matter who said it. Zilbasser time of a timer kamar. I know the reason for that mishnah. Dam Reb Shimon ben Lakish. My dichsev ani verash atstiku. My hitstiku ilim bedinim. Doesn't mean ani verash, right? The ani and a rush. Those are poor people. Doesn't mean you're supposed to be matstik them when they come to din, right? So if you're a judge and an ani and a rush is standing in front of your court, you know, understand, be sensitive to his financial situation and try to show him favoritism. That's not what it means. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So what does it mean? Elot tzadik mishachavatein lo. It means if there's a suffix, whether you have to give something to an ani, you're supposed to give it to him. So Rish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, he says, our Mishnah says, Safik matnos kohuna, you leave it, you keep it. I have a Mishnah that says, Safik leket leket. And by the way, I think it's a stira Rameir. And even if you're going to tell me that's a Yochanan Rameir, I hear, so forget the stira Rameir. But I know the reason of that Mishnah. The reason of that Mishnah is that Tzadik Mishal Chavetein Loi. Ani v'rosh atztiku. That misafik, you always give it to the rosh. So based on that misafik, you should give it to the kohen as well. So you wanted to know why in our mishnah do we say amoytze mechavrei olav araya? How does that shtim A with that mishnah and B with the concept of ani v'rosh atztiku? Amar Rava. Rava said it's very simple, basic lumdus. Hacha par becheskas p'tura kaima. Kama becheskas chiyuva kaima. In our mishnah, you have a para. Who owned the para before the safik was noila? What's the safik? When did the geiris happen? Before the geiris happened, a non-Jew owned it. If a non-Jew owns it, no chiv Israel chayim and keva. So being that the chazakah said that you're potter, so misafik, you're going to remain potter. But over here, there was a kama, there was a field. And a field means chiv leket, chiv shikcha, chiv peya. Now you have a safik leket, shikcha and peya, you go based on the chazaka, which is becheskas chiyuv, and therefore you're going to be chayv. Omalei Abaya said, so that answers this question, but I'll ask you another kasha. Varei Iso, and this is a Mishnah Masechtes Challah, Nasach Lemisgayer, so this was again, a non-Jew that converted to Judaism, and at the same time, he was baking challah, and he had dough. So the halach is like this. Actually, in this guy, if he prepared the dough before the geiris, patim in a challah. Because at the time that the dough was prepared, he wasn't a yid, thus he's patim. Mishan is geir. If I ever prepared it after the geiris, chayif. Sofik, what's the halach? Chayif. What's a bias kasha? If you're going to tell me that the way you look at the sofik is chazaka, just like in our Mishnah, the parah was becheskas ptor, over here the iso was becheskas ptor as well. So why are you chayif? You should be patim amalei. So Rava told Abaya, sofik isura, the chumra, sofik mamayna,
Chalakulam. No, Chala is already a whole different sugya. Because in Chala, you're dealing with a Safik Isser. If you eat dough without being mafresh Chala, it's like eating Tevel. There's questions of Chiyav Misa. That's very, very chamor. This original discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish was dealing with two sugyas that didn't involve Isser. Zroy l'chayim and keva doesn't involve Isser. Even though yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yochanan said that if somebody eats matanish lehormur, it's as if he ate Tevel, but the Gemara said that v'leit silchas like Rabbi Yochanan. We don't pass like that, Rabbi Yochanan. So there's no question of Isser, and in the case of like a chicken pei, it's not a shayla. There's a mitzvah to give Israel l'chaim and keva. There's a mitzvah to give like a chicken pei. La'ani v'la'ger tazay v'yosam. But there's no Isser. When you're dealing with Isser, of course you always go to chumet. I'm Rav Chiz. How do I know that? V'chein tanu Rav Chiz. Shmoyin esfekas demer beger. There's eight halachas where Chazal discuss suffik when it comes to a ger. You have a shayla. Was he megayer now? Was he megayer later? Yes. There's a suffik when the ger has happened relative to a specific halacha. Eight times that it was discussed, four of them, arba lechiyu v'arba leptor, karben ishtoy v'chala u'b'char behemet mei b'char behemet taira lechiyu. So I Rashi for a description of exactly what these things mean, but the point is we're karben ishtoy, a woman is the giyoy res, and there's a suffix when she was megai relative to when she had a baby. So does she have to bring the carbon of a ledes or does she not? Chala, that's what we just discussed. B'char behemet mei b'char behemet taira, the halachas of b'char relative to a geiris. In those cases, there's questions of chiyuv. Rashi says that they involve Mises Bezden, Ayin Rashi. So over there you go to Chumra. But Rachis Nagez Vamatonois, Upinyan Aben, Upinyan Petachamar, being that it's not a question of Isser, there's no Chiyav, there's no Mises Bezden, Mises B'dei Shemayim, there's no Chorus in those cases. It's just a question of a mitzvah. So if you have a Sofi, you go to Ptor. Either way, so Abaye said, I have precedence for what I said. Regardless, the Gemara began its discussion with a question that Rav Dimi reported when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, that Reish Lakish had asked Rabbi Yochanan. What was the question? Our Mishnah says, Safik, Matnes Kohuna, regarding Zroi L'chaim and Keva, Maitzim Echabriel of Araya. The Mishnah in Peya discusses Leket, where if you find this Leket in an ant hole, do you treat it as Leket or not? And there the halacha seems to be Safik, Leket, Leket. He also, Ravin Amar, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported, as he often did, a little bit differently. He said, Kama Akama Ramile. The stira wasn't from Zroy l'chayayim and keva to kama, but it was a stira from kama to kama, which would mean it's not really so relevant to our perek that we're learning right now. Rashi said, masnisa achriti ashkach l'rameir. He must have had another brisa that also mentioned rameir, and that was the original question that had begun this discussion. Either way, the Gemara digresses a drop. Levi zora b'kishar. Levi planted in kishar. They have aniyim mishkol leket, and there were no aniyim to take the leket. Also, coming to Rav Sheishas. He came to Rav Sheishas. He said, what else to do? I have the leket. It's been sitting outside for days. Nobody's coming to take it. Like, what's my obligation? Amalei, Rav Sheishas told Levi, lo'ani v'lager tazavoysam. It says he's supposed to leave it for the ani and the ger. V'loi lo'arvim v'loi latleifim. You don't have to leave it for the ravens. You don't have to leave it for the bats. I mean, if no one's coming to pick it up, you can keep it for yourself. Meisvei, emevi and truma, lo'imi garen le'er, v'lo'imi b'li yishuv. You don't have an obligation to take your truma from the Goyrin and bring it into the city, or if you live in the Midbar, bring it into the Yishuv to go find a Kayin. I mean, that's not something you're obligated to do. You don't have to search after a Kayin. But at the same, what you do have to do is, if ancient Kayin, if there's no Kayin where you are, and the Chum is starting to spoil, Seicher Para, you at the very least would have to expense a little bit. So you'd have to hire a Para, Umaviyah, and store it. Maybe they have the Chum, you don't want the Chum to go bad. But you don't have to go find a Kayin. But what is the mashma? You can't keep it. So what's the difference? Why is it that when it comes to leket shikun peya, Rav Sheishas said, "Lo ani v'lager tazavaisam." You don't have to leave it for the ravens and the bats. Keep it. I mean, you don't have to store it and wait for an ani to show up. You leave it there. If nobody picks it up, enjoy it. Whereas when it comes to truma, you have to go find the truma. So what's the obvious answer? So the Gemara says, "Shani truma the tavla v'leisagidloi mafreshlei." No, truma there's it's iser. Tevel. You need to be mafresh truma. You can't just eat it if a kayin doesn't show up. But the Gemara says, v'ramaitonis, loy tavli. What about Zroi l'chaim and keva, which is not tevel? We said we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan of yesterday's daf. V'tanya b'nun to the brayis, v'mokim shenagodim loy ba'agolim loy yafsh. Where the minig is that people would not remove the skin of an animal before they cooked it. So if you have Zroi l'chaim and keva, so you shouldn't take anything off the Zroi L'chaim and Keva. Meaning, if the minig is this is the way people cook it when they put it on the grill, so you should leave it in its natural form when you give it to the koi. Meaning, you're going to give it to the koi anyway. It's a question, should I skin it? Should I remove the hair? Don't touch it. Leave it. If people leave it, then you should leave it. If, however, the hafshid is a roish, let's say the minig is yet to be mafshid it,
So then you would say, okay, go based on the minhag. Be mashir. No, also lo yashir. That's halachi. Then ancient kayin, we need the next part of the braisa. Let's say there's no kayin. So mailen oisan bidamin va'oichlan mipnei hefsed kayin. If you can't find the kayin, then what you should do is you should be poyter. So you should take the Israeli Chaim and Keva, transfer the Kedusha onto money, wait until you find the Kayin and give him the money. Here you have, again, a halacha where you have to find the Kayin. You see, you can't just let it go bad and say, oh, I'm not leaving it for the raven, so I'm going to eat it. No, you have to do something. You have to be proactive. You have to make sure the Kayin's going to get it in a healthy form. I hear it's not a question of Tevel. So the Gemara says, Shani Matnes Kuhuna, the Nasiv Ksiv Bey. Matnes Kuhuna, it says Nasina. So the Gemara, Ach, that's the Hachi. Now that you tell me where it says Venasan, you have to find the Kayin. Trumanami Nasina Ksiva Bey. By Leket, Chikun Pei, it says Tazoiv. Right? So in the beginning of the week, we saw Nafkimin and Lalach of Tazoiv. What was the nafkamina? You have no tevis anah, because it says tazev, aziva ksiv bohu. Thus, you don't have tevis anah. That was the vart we spoke of for Rav Shmuel Yankiv. Why? We tell the ger that's bolis gayer. Today's daf. That's what we tell the ger that's bolis gayer about the mitzvahs of like the chicken peyer. Because we show him aziva ksiv bohu, that you don't even have tevis anah when it comes to giving tzedakah. Over here you have it in the context. Over here you have it with regards to a different halacha. Lo ani v'la ger tazev, thus, if no ani comes, you can keep it, which is a kula. Whereas truma, where it says venasan, so you have the kula, you have tevis hanav, but you also have a chumra. You have no choice. They have to find a kayin. So the Gemara says, v'ela tazev yaseir lamali. It says the word tazev twice by lakachik kumpeya. So bishloim, if the extra tazev is coming to teach me halacha, not regarding lakachik kumpeya, but regarding truma, uzroi l'chaim and keva, then I know what to do with it. But according to this, that we're saying, that the only time you have tazev is by lakachik kumpeya. But by truma, and by matanis, you don't have tazev, so why did the Torah use the extra word tazev? Look at the time, teach me a completely different halacha. Mafgir es karma. If somebody makes his kerem hafgir, or the shachi, wakes up in the morning, hishkim ubatzrei. So he had remorse. He was mafgir his kerem, and then the morning he woke up, he says, yeah, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. So he goes, and he makes a chazaka in it. The halacha is chayeb peret uba'ilalais, ubeshikcho ubepeya, upatim enamaisus. So if someone's kind of something from hafgir, he's patim from all the matanis. But let's say you yourself made it hafgir, then you were kind of in a hafgir. You'll be chayeb in peret oilais shikchon peya. You'll be potter from the maizos. Why you chayiv in those four things? Because it says tazif twice. Once to tell me it was mine. Once to tell me that if I was mafker and I was kainim and a hefker, I'm still going to be chayiv. One final gemara. Who sacked the dinri? The asal bei midrash. Somebody walked into base medrash and he had a sack full of coins. And he was going to give it to the rabbis. So the Gemara says, called him Rabami. Rabami got up, v'zochabahed. And he chapped it. Rabami wanted it. Freak the Gemara, had Rabami do that, v'ksiv v'nosan, v'loi she'itel me'atzmoy. We had this in yesterday's da. Right, Abaye used to go after the tinoikus, and he would take away the Zroi l'chaim in the cave, and then he would ask nicely, and then he didn't even take it anymore. Hatznu'a moishchin es yodeyem. Because it says, v'nosan, you're not supposed to take it. So had Rabami take it. Now, the truth is, that v'nosan is talking about matanis. This is not matanis, this is just money. And but the assumption is, if there's an idea, a principle of Venasan as it relates to Israel Chaim and Keva, you should have it here as well. So the Gemara, two terutz, and Rabami Nami Laniim Zochalim. Either Rabami was taking it for Aniim, the Iba Yaseim Adam Chashev Shani. Being the Rabami was an Adam Chashev, he was actually entitled to it. Tanya Relun to the Braisa. Vakoyin Hagodum Yechov. This is the Kohen Gadol, of course. But Chazal say he's Godum Yechov, Sheye Godum Yechov Benoi. He should be more handsome than his brothers. Bechachma, wiser, ubaisher, wealthier. What if a Kayan Gadol is not wealthier? So you have to make sure he becomes wealthier. Talmud old school. Talmud Leir, Vagayan Gadol Meyechav, Gadol Meshalechav. So Rami felt as Adam Chashev, he was entitled to take this money. So just to end with one ha'ara, and that is, so the Gemara just finished with something that we saw in greater detail in yesterday's daf, and that is that even though Kayanim are entitled to this royal Chayim and Keva, they shouldn't go after it. It says Venasan, let the owner decide who he's going to give it to. Don't even try to, in a nice roundabout way, get the Matnes Kuhuna. And if you remember, the Gemara told a story. The Gemara said that Rava and Rav Safra were once sitting in somebody's house, and the Gabbai of that house was a Kohen, and he was going to take this Zroi L'chaim in the Keva of the Igla Tilsa, of this very choshen animal that had just been slaughtered. And Rava wanted the tongue of that animal. The tongue is part of the L'chayayim. He wasn't really entitled to it. So he asked the Shabbos, he says, you're a Kohen. And Rabbi Yosef said a Chiddush that if a Kohen wants, he can be mezaka the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva to a Yisrael, so that the Yisrael can get it directly from the other Yisrael.
like a Shebuda de Rav Nosson. It doesn't even have to stop over in the Kohen's hand. So Rava says, you know, maybe be mezakeh to me the tongue. It's, I want it with mustard. That's what Rava said he wanted. And the Gemara said, Rav Sakhar wouldn't eat it. Rava did eat it. But Rashi in that Gemara asked the Kasha. Rashi says, it sounds like from the Gemara that Rava wasn't a Kohen. Because if Rava was a Kohen, Rava could have demanded it. As he said, I'm a Kohen. You know, I want the tongue. Can I please have the tongue? If Rava needed to come on to Rav Yosef's Chiddush, of yesterday's daf, take it via the Kohen with that Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef. It sounds like Rava clearly was not a Kohen. And Rava, fake Rashi Akasha, had his Shema, the Gemara Masech, this Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chesed Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about the curse of the family of Eli, where no one was going to live to 18, past 18 years. And the Gemara over there says that Rava and Abaya both came from the family of Eli. Rava, the Asik Batayra, Chayar Ban Shnit. Rava, who was Isaac Batayra, lived till he was 40. Abai, the Asik Batayra, Ubik Milus Chasadim, Chayar Shitin Shin. He lived 60 years. But the point is, if Rava came from the family of Eli, that by definition means he was a Kayan. If he was a Kayan, then why did he have to go through Rabbi Yosef's Chiddish to take the Matnas Kuna? The Chayar was entitled to it as a Kayan. So Rashi said a very Gishmak Eteretz. Rashi said, that means that it says, Venosan, Veloisha Yilok Achmiatzmoy, Rava didn't want to take it. He didn't want to take it as Kohen because he knew the halacha that a Kohen's not supposed to go after Matnas Kohuna. But he felt that if he's taking it not out Kohen, but I'm going to get it secondhand already, maybe in that instance it's okay. So you want to know if Rava was entitled to take it? Yeah. Why? Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches. Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches. Rava's going to not Kohen. So if he wanted, he could have taken it. The problem is, you're not supposed to take it out Kohen. So Rava said, out Kohen, I'm not going to take it. So he went over to the Gabbai. He said, listen, I know you're going to get it. And do me a favor, be mezakeh to me. He's not taking it as Kohen. Being that he's not taking it as Kohen, it's for that reason it's going to be okay. If you take a look at Tosfos, the last Tosfos on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, it's a short Tosfos, it's an easy Tosfos. Tosfos says, because of this Gemara, where it's mashma that Rava could not go directly and take the matonis, he had to take it indirectly, you see from here that he wasn't a Kohen. I, Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Rava and Abai both came from Beis Eli. You have to say that it wasn't Rava. It was really Rabba. And so many times in Shas, there's Chilufei Gersois with Rava and Rabba. The proper gerse in Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amud Aleph is not Rava, it's Rabba. Because if Rava in fact came from Beis Eli, then Rava was a Kohen. If he was a Kohen, why do I have to go through this whole, why do I need to take it this way? Just take it directly. Elamai, he wasn't a Kohen. Bottom line. So we have a machloikis Rashi and Tosfos in the right gerse, in the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Was it Rava and Abaya that came from Beis Eli? Or was it Rabba and Abaya that came from Beis Eli? Rashi's girsa is that it was Rava, which implies Rava was a Kohen. If that's the case, why did Rava have to go through this roundabout way in our Gemara to take the Matnos Kohuna? The Teretz is because he held of this halacha of Inasan, the halacha that Abaya held of, and the last Gemara that we just learned. Tosfos held not that way. Tosfos held that if Rava could have taken an Alts Kohen, he would have taken an Alts Kohen. Muzdach Zayin, he wasn't a Kohen. I that Gemara, the girsa in that Gemara is not Rava. The girsa in that Gemara is really Rava. Yaakov Emden, in a very short comment in his Agos Yaivetz on that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph says, I'm going to bring you a raya that I think is a raya niflot, not I, meaning Rabbi Yaakov Emden said he thinks is a raya niflot to Tosfos Gersa, that it was Rava, not to Rashi's Gersa, that it was Rava. There's a Gemara in the Sechtes Brochos, Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says as follows: Abaya and Rava have a yosvi kamei de Rava. Abaya and Rava were young children, and they were sitting in front of Rava. Rava, who would become Rava's Rebbe, he would become Abaya's Rabbi Muvak. He adopted Abaya. Abaya was a yoslin. Abaya's Rashi Tevis Asher Becha Yeruchem yoslin, and Rava adopted him and brought him into his house. He literally raised him. Amaluhu Rava. So Rava turns to these young boys, Abaya and Rava, and he says, "Lemi mevarchin." You know, when you make a bracha, who are you making a bracha to? Baruch Ato Hashem. Who are you talking to? I'm relay the Rachmana. This is what I mean. Hashem. For Rachmana Hecha Yasin. So Rabbi said, where is Hashem? So Rava Achmi L'Shmei Tlala. So Rava pointed to the ceiling. He pointed up. Abaya Nafak L'Bar. Abaya told Rabbi, let's walk outside. And Achvi Klap Yishmaya. He pointed to the heavens. Amalu Rabbi. Rabbi said, Tarveichu Rabbanan Havisu. You're both going to be big Talmid Chachamim. Hainu Damre Inchi. Butzim Butzim Mikitve Yadiyah. A farmer can look at his plants and he could already tell from a very young, unripened stage what the future lies for these fruit, for these plants. But either way, Rabbi was amazing, and he was able to tell from this story that Abaya and Rava were destined for greatness. And there's a lot to take out of this Gemara, but we need a very arbitrary point, and that is that Abaya and Rava were children at the same time. Abaya and Rava, Abaya Yosef, Kameh Rava, they were both kids. That's the Gemara. Haimuda Amri Inchi, Boots and Mikitva Yadiyah. They were both young at the same time, and Rava saw in them that they were prodigies, that they were destined for godliness. But the point is that they were children at the very same time. Another Gemara Masechtas Brachas. This is a Gemara, Daf Nun Vama Mer Aleph. The Gemara that discusses Abaya and Rava used to dream the same dreams every night. And they used to go to a Paiser Chaloimis. We mentioned this briefly yesterday. Bar Hedya. And he used to be Paiser the Chaloimis. Abaya used to pay him. He got great interpretations. Rava didn't. He got lousy interpretations. One day, Rava heard that really the pisrin of a cholim, it all depends on the person. So he realized that if he's on his good side, everything's going to work out better. So the Gemara says from that point forward, Rava used to go, L'soif asa Rava v'yav le'agra. Rava would go, and he would pay Bar Hedya. And every dream that he would tell him, everything was great. So one night, Rava has a dream. And he comes to Bar Hedya and he tells him, Chazoy apadna d'abaya d'nafal. I had a dream. And in my dream, Abaya's house fell. It literally came down to the ground. V'kasyan afge. And the dust of Abaya's house covered me. What does this dream mean? Amale. So Bar Hedya told Rava, you know what it means? Abaya shachiv. Abaya is going to pass away. U'misifte asi l'gabach. And you're going to yarshin his srara, his yeshiva, his talmidim, they're all going to go to you. You're going to be zoicha to everything. And the Gemara continues telling different dreams. At the end, the Gemara says that all the dreams that Rava had and Bar Hedya told him were going to played out the way he said it was going to. If that's the case, it comes out very clearly that Abaya passed away before Rava. Right? It's clear. Because that was the dream. The dream was that Abaya's house fell. Rava was covered in the dust of Abaya's house. The pisrain of the chaloim was Abaya shachiv u'misifte yasvi l'gabach. That he's going to go ahead. Which means that who outlived who? Rava outlived Abaya. Another Gemara. A Gemara Masechtis Ksubis. Daf Samechem and Aleph. A Gemara in Perek Afalpi. Chayma devisu d'Abaya asa l'kami d'Rava. Abaya's wife, Chayma, once came to Rava's court, Amalei, and she said, "Psaikli mizayni. You know, my husband Abaya passed away, and the estate is supporting me, and I want you to support me." So Rava sat down with his bezdin, and they decided how much support Chayma needed. Pasakla, psaikli chayma. Then she said, "I want some wine also." Amalah. So Rava told Chayma, he says, "Listen, I knew your husband very well. Yadana bebe nachmeni. I knew Abaya like havishasi chamra. He never drank wine. If he didn't drink wine, you didn't drink wine." Amalei. So she told him, "Chayi demar davi mashkele b'shufrziki hay." She says, "You know how much wine he drank?" And she exposed her arm, and she said, "This is how much wine Abaya, you thought you knew Abaya. I'm telling you that Abaya used to drink wine. And this is how much wine he used to drink. And he used to give me wine. I'm used to drinking wine. And based on the halach of Amon and Nizainis Menechsi Yisoyman, I'm entitled to wine." The Gemara says that when she exposed her arm, so all the Rabbanim were a little bit taken aback that this act of somewhat pritzos took place in the court, in the bezdin of Rava. The Gemara says, "Nafal nahayre bebeidino." Come Rava. The Gemara says, Rava left Beis Knesses, Ola Beisei, and Tavol Bas Rav Chizda. He was Tevei's wife, who was Rav Chizda's daughter, Fetashmish. Amrele Bas Rav Chizda, man havi o'idim bebeidino. Who was in bezdin today? That in the middle of the day, you're coming, you're being Tevei, Latashmish. Amalos, he said, Chayma devisu d'abaya. It was Chayma. Nafka Basra. So Rava's wife was very upset at Chayma, Abaya's wife. So she chased her, machvaso bekufi the shida, and she started hitting her. Ad afkilo mikula mechuzah. Rava lived in mechuzah until she literally threw out a mechuzah. Amalei, she said, "Katlus l'tlus. You already killed three." Rava's wife, Abaya's wife, Chayma had buried three husbands. V'asas l'miktal achrina. Now you want to kill somebody else? But again, it's an interesting story. But what's the takeaway for what we need right now? Is who died first? Abaya died before Rava. Freit Rav Yaakov Emden. I have a few Gemaras. I have a Gemara. Masechtas Brachas. Daf Mem Ches. It says Abaya and Rava were be'erich, give or take, the same age. They were children at the same time. Boots and Mikitva Yadir. They were both children standing in front of Rabbi. I have two Gemaras. I have a Gemara Masechtas Brachas Naf Nun Vavam and Aleph, and a Gemara Ksuvah Samachem and Aleph that says that Abaya passed away before Rava. If that's the case, Lama Lein in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Chesam and Aleph Nachamo. Zok the Gemara Rabba or Rava Rashi's Gersa Vi Abaya Mid Beis Eilu Kasu. Rava and Abaya both came from the family of Eli. Rava the Osik B'Torah Chayar Ban Shnit. Rava who learned Torah lived till he was 40. Abaya the Asuk the Torah begibilas chasadim chayashit and shne. Abaya who learned Torah and did chasad lived till he was 60. If they were kids at the same time, and Abaya lived 20 years longer than Rava, then who died first? Rava passed away before Abaya. It's not true. I have two Gemara's Nishtas, I Zakh of Yaakov Emden. I have a Gemara Brochus Nun, I have a Gemara Ksuba Samechei. Muzdach Zain, the Geras is not Rava. Must be the Geras is Rava. There's no Sheiches to those Gemara's. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it's Machloikis, Rashi, and Toysvis, Rav Shas. Notably, Chulin Kuflam and Gimel Amar Aleph. Whether it was Rava Ve'Abaya, or whether it was Rava Ve'Abaya, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I believe I have a checkmate proof that it's Rabba Babaya, not Rabba Babaya.